The first part of Ecclesiastes, verse 8 of our reading, will be my main text. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. As 2013 comes to an end, we can look back and reflect on what sort of year it has been. For some of us, that's a good practice to look back and consider what sort of year has it been. Now, there will be countless differing opinions on this. Some will say, well, it's been a pretty good year. Others will say it's been a pretty bad year. Some might well say it has been a dreadful year. One thing I think we can all agree about at the ending of this year is that we are all a little bit older. Maybe not always wiser, but most certainly older. And that is not something that pleases everyone. Getting old is, well, it's not always a bed of roses, is it? Now, it has been said that some would like to say that a proper translation of this verse is that the end of a sermon is better than its beginning. Now, I don't think that that is a sound translation, even though we might have been in situations where we wish it was. You might even be in one tonight. Hope not, yes. I didn't... Well said, Brian, well said. But of course, in defence of preachers of the gospel, I must tell you that it can be on occasions difficult. An introduction leading into the main thrust of the service sermon, followed by the conclusion, the application, and then on to the invitation for sinful men and women, boys and girls, to come to the Saviour. Yeah, sometimes to get through all of that can be difficult. I know myself. The struggle that goes on in getting the structure and the timing right. Tricky. In fact, there has been the odd occasion when I, let alone the congregation, was simply glad to make it to the end of the sermon. So maybe for the preacher and the congregation, maybe there are times when the end of a thing is better than its beginning. But I want us tonight to clearly see this point in our own lives. And know that for the Christian, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. Maybe some of you have travelled over this Christmas period, holidays, and you visited relations or friends. Now, as nice as the visit may have been, and as pleasant as, if you find travelling pleasant, that is, it's always nice to get back, isn't it? Always nice to get back. Good to return home, knowing the stresses of the journey is behind you. From that perspective, the end of a trip is often better than the beginning. Let me just go back to my last summer holiday, when we went to Italy. To Sorrento. Well, I can tell you, as much as I enjoyed it, I was so pleased to get home in one piece. The driving out there is atrocious. I think I mentioned it to Andy, and Andy said, yes, we went, it's lovely over there. And when I come back, Andy said, you didn't drive. You didn't drive. Yes, I did. Well, I can tell you, the end was better than the beginning. Or consider a large cargo ship that leaves for a far-off port. When it returns with its load, the captain and the crew, well, they're relieved, naturally so. They know the storms and difficulties they've come through on the trip, and they're glad, they're so pleased, it's behind them. The captain may well recall the highs and lows of the voyage, but ultimately for him and the crew, the end is clearly better than the beginning. Think of the soldier goes off to war. Think of the many young men and women now that go off to Afghanistan. Is not the end of a thing better than the beginning for the soldier? Nearly every soldier longs to complete his or her tour of duty and get back safely home with their friends and family. So this point of the end of a thing being better than its beginning is true in many instances in life. But as we will see later, there are, as nearly always, an exception to the rule. So my aim this evening in examining points from our text is so that it will be both a comfort, yes, and an assurance to us Christians as another year comes to an end. First point to take from this verse is that it should appease any regrets that we might be holding on to. In a few days' time, the year 2013, gone. It's history. And often the looking back over that, we can have regrets. In fact, I'm sure most people, when they look back, do have some regrets. Opportunities missed. Mistakes made. I suspect, like I say, most people look back and in one form or another have regrets. Now these regrets can hurt. They can hurt. What we done. Oh, how we messed that up. How we went wrong there. They can hurt. They can also hinder the growth of a Christian when we harbour regrets. Now this verse looked at appropriately should nullify much of our regrets of the past and enable us to move forward, to move on. You know, I'm sure we've all heard people say things like, oh, how time flies. Or, I wish I had this year over again. Or, if only I could turn back the clock, I could right the wrongs or do things different. We might even have said such words ourselves in the past. Yet thought about seriously, and from a godly perspective, the Christian need not think along such lines. No. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 10 in our reading says this, do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. In other words, it is not wise to wish to go back. It's not wise to do it. And there really is no need. There is no need. Think again about the ship's captain on the high seas. Does he wish to go back to all the past storms that he has come through? Of course he doesn't. Do any of us? Do any of us really want to revisit the storms of the past year? Now I know some here this evening have undergone some torrential storms this year. You know. Some of our brothers and sisters have gone through some incredibly difficult storms this year. Indeed, some are still battling through storms and are in our need of our prayers. Now, would anyone wish to return to storms that they've already passed through? That would be madness. The arrows that the enemy has fired at our faith this year, they've been dealt with. They're gone for good. They're spent. They can never be used against us again. With God's help and with his armour, the Christian has beaten back and triumphed over such attacks. We have come through the storms. We would not want to go back and struggle with historical trials and temptations again. They're defeated. They're gone. They're behind us. Yes, of course, there will be more arrows, more trials, more temptations in one form or another. But we have moved on. And we continue, Christian, to move on in strength. The strength, where? From our beloved Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are older. And you know what? Perhaps we are a little bit wiser. A little bit wiser for having lived through these attacks. Having lived through these trials and temptations. Having got through and getting through and helping each other through these storms that we have faced. James says, doesn't he, in James 1, verses 2 to 4, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Dear Christian brother and sister, God has used the events of this past year of 2013, our difficulties, our trials, even our failures, to help us grow, to help us develop as His children. So with this mindset, surely the end of the year is better than its beginning, whatever we've been through. To relive the past is not the future. To relive the past is not the future. Indeed, in Christ, we are freed from our past. Secondly, this verse can and should calm our fears of the future. Many people today look at the beginning and ask, well, will the end really be better? Can it really be better? Maybe you are sitting here tonight having personally experienced the storms of 2013, knowing how hard and how destructive they were. And you shudder. And now you are genuinely fearful of what the storms of 2014 might bring. Truly afraid you will not be able to withstand such forceful storms ever again. So, dear friend, remember that no matter how bad the beginning is or has been, the end is always better. If you wake up in the morning and the sun is behind dark clouds, well, you don't assume that the sun will never shine. Even in the British winter. It's like a young girl who saw an eclipse of the sun and asked her father, "Why did the sun go out?" Now that's an understandable question for a child. But an adult knows that the sun will appear again. We know that, don't we? If you are currently in a dark period of your life, don't despair. Do not despair. The sun will shine again. In fact, as Christians, we know the sun has risen. Hallelujah. Take this verse as a prophecy to give you hope and to dispel your fears. The end of the matter will be better than the beginning. God is still in charge. He always will be in charge. He promised Israel through the prophet Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. If you're in Christ Jesus tonight, God has a plan for you. I don't care what your age is. God has a plan for you, even in the darkest of times, and these plans are to give you a future, to give you a hope. Think about the story of Joseph. He is sold into slavery by his own brothers. He is falsely accused and thrown into prison. It probably was his darkest moment. Yet he could never have risen to his high position of power in Egypt if he had not gone to prison. God had a plan for that man. We must very often stoop to conquer. And like gold, we must be refined in the fire before we can truly shine. If you are in a dark moment and you are dreading the future, then Christian, take heart from this verse, for the end of a thing is better than its beginning. Thirdly, I want to encourage our faith. We've looked at our past, we've looked at our future, but this verse can also encourage us as we face the pains of the present. The spirit of our time says that we should get it now. Do it now. It cries out, the world cries out for instant satisfaction, instant gratification. That is the cry of the world today. I want it and I want it now. But God says that we should wait for his time in the matter. That's what he says to us. Isaiah 40, verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It is often found that in waiting we truly learn to rely on God. We truly learn to trust him more when we wait upon him. The worldly man lives in the present. The Christian lives for the future. Christian, we know the end of this life, and we know that whatever happens, if we are in Christ, then the end will be immeasurably better in the beginning. Jesus promised in Revelation 2:10 these words, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. If you are struggling this evening to hang on to your faith, well, take heart. Take heart from the word of God. Take it into your heart. Believe it. Trust the Lord. The end will be so much better than the beginning and is well worth waiting for. Paul said, didn't he, in Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Think of the Saviour himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout his life, did he have an easy life? No. He was rejected, he was abused, and he was finally murdered on the cross. Yet where is he now? He is glorified in heaven. Philippians 2:9-11 says this, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Paul reasons with the Romans and says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. This is our future. Christian, I urge and pray for you to endure tough times, to resolutely hang on to your faith. Because in God's time, every one of us who is in Christ Jesus will be glorified. Everyone. Everyone. Which ultimately will glorify God. The final thing that I would like us to consider from this verse is that, well, we must take action. We must take action. If the end is to be better than the beginning, well, of course, firstly, there must be a beginning. There has to be a beginning. Perhaps there is someone here this evening who has never begun a walk with God. Perhaps. Well, quite frankly, you cannot end what you never began. Perhaps there are Christians here this evening that have put off getting their heart right with God, or of coming back to the church committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've just meandered through, so to speak. You cannot end what you do not begin. As we face the beginning of a new year, let me put this challenge to you, and to myself, of course. Why not strive to make a new beginning in your life? Get closer to the Lord. Get real with the Lord. Be committed to the Lord. Earlier, I mentioned that not everything ends better than it begins, that there are exceptions to the rule. Take, for example, someone who goes to a wild party, gets horribly drunk, or worse in this day and age. The next morning, that person can barely remember their name, much less what happened at the party. I can tell you from experience, hangovers are dreadful things. For that person, the end of the matter is not better than the beginning. Or consider the successful businessman who makes pots of money. Everything begins so well. But then he decides to serve his money. Money becomes his God. And he becomes a miser. Look at the end of his life. He is wealthy but scared to death that he will lose his money, that he will die a pauper. For that person, the end of the matter is not better than the beginning. So, the question is, what about you? What about you? What about you? Will the end of your life be better than the beginning? If you are a sinner, then it won't be. And if you are human, you are a sinner. In fact, every person in this building tonight is a sinner. The only difference is that many here are now sinners saved by grace. What about you? Are you a sinner, or are you a sinner saved by grace? There are only two types of people. Sinner or sinner saved by grace. If this evening Jesus Christ is not your Saviour, and your sins have not been dealt with, then I must be very truthful with you, and I must make it crystal clear that you are headed for an end that is far, far worse than the beginning. Frighteningly so. Ask yourself, what will I tell the Lord? What will I tell Almighty God when I stand before Him, as everybody has to on Judgment Day? What will I tell God? Will you tell Him that you were a good person? If you do, he will open the book of life and see all your sins recorded there. Everyone. God will plainly know that you were never, never as good as you thought you were. In fact, if you are honest with yourself tonight, you know that already. We all do. We all do. Or will you, and I pray this is the case for everyone here tonight, will you thankfully and humbly say that your sins are forgiven because you have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ? And now you stand in front of God clothed in his righteousness. Dear listener, whoever you are, whatever your past, if you can truly say that, then for you, the end of your life will be unimaginably better than the beginning. Before 2013 moves into the pages of history, I pray that God will touch your heart here this evening and cause you to hear his word and to obey him. So that tonight we may all of us say with conviction that the end of 2013 was truly better than its beginning. We can say that if Christ Jesus is our Saviour. Francis Havergal wrote these marvellous lines. Another year is dawning. Dear Father, let it be. In working or in waiting, another year with thee. Another year of progress. Another year of praise. Another year of proving thy presence all the days. Another year of mercies, of faithfulness and grace. Another year of gladness, the glory of thy face. Another year of learning upon thy loving breast. Another year of trusting, of quiet, happy rest. Another year of service, of witness for thy love. Another year of training for holier work above. Another year is dawning. Dear Father, let it be on earth or else in heaven. Another year for thee. As someone has rightly said, the past is history. The future's a mystery. But God has given us this moment. That's why it's called the present. Today, this evening, is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Have Jesus Christ as your Saviour. And know for you, that the end of a thing, even your life, is and will be infinitely better than its beginning. You can only say that if Christ Jesus is your Saviour. Get real with God tonight. I urge you. Amen.